first Saturday of the month here at Rosie on the House in our Outdoor Living Hour. We bring Julie Murphy with the Arizona Farm Bureau in to talk about all things that are locally grown here in Arizona, the farming industry, $23 billion industry in Arizona, and helps connect our listeners to the local farmers and the food that they eat. And one thing, I had actually pulled this article a couple weeks ago that was about seven industrial farm operations draining Arizona aquifers, and I was going to ask you about that, but this week, Phil Bradshaw actually had a very good response to that article.
Yes, Arizona Farm Bureau CEO wrote a response to it, and if anybody hasn't read it, look, you can go to AZ Central and maybe even just plug in Phil Bradshaw's name, Bashaw, and it'll probably pop up. But you know, his main premise, there's a lot more to this complicated issue, but his main premise is, we all celebrate when some big company comes in and builds and employs a bunch of people, but when it's farming, we get nailed and they're criticizing its water use. But the reality of farming today is it's feeding and clothing us, and you know, there's a lot of controversies to it. I just say, read the article and you'll learn about it. But
it concludes with the point that I think needs to be drummed more, is just how much of our water-saving technology has come from the agricultural industry itself.
Yeah, and I highlight that point a lot. And Frank Martin might even be able to speak to this issue too. Like, even with cotton, you know, 100 years ago, it wasn't unusual for and our measurement in agriculture is acre feet, so it's a little bit complicated, but 100 years ago, anywhere from 6 to 8 to 9 acre feet per acre to grow an acre's worth of cotton, again, our measurement. Well, today, especially with our drip irrigation, it's less than 4 acre feet per acre. That's more, we've reduced water use by more than half in cotton here in the state of Arizona. And people say, well, it uses water and we don't need it. And well, we do. We'll always need cotton. We'll always need cotton sheets. We'll always need cotton. I do not want to run around naked. So, and we grow it so well in Arizona, and we grow it so well in California, two of the most important states for the high quality fiber and what they call the long staple fibers. So anyway, Frank, I think you can even speak to that a little bit, because
it would be a lot harder to cover ourselves with a creosote leaf as opposed to a fig leaf.
Yeah.
We don't have as many figs as Adam and Eve had.
Or we could all go to polyester, but the water that's required to manufacture polyester fiber is even worse. So you've got, it's the give and take. What do you give up to gain and vice versa?
And the microfibers that come off of it.
Right.
That are ending up in the ocean, they say could change.
And they don't biodegrade, whereas cotton, one of our cotton farmers, I have to share this story. I saw this on Facebook. He put a pair of his cotton underwear and buried it under, in the ground, speaking of everything underground. And then just like a polyester shirt. And he pulled it out a couple months later. Well, the cotton underwear was biodegrading. So, and by the way, speaking of Facebook and Frank Martin, our featured farmer today, if you go to Facebook and look up Farmer Frank Martin, you'll see a lot of what he's growing, what he's doing. Frank, you've just become a Facebook, guru.
I don't know about that.
But what's neat is he's also always featuring a lot of his, the whole team, the farm team that helps him farm, that helps him plant and grow and harvest, and the weekly harvests that he's, committing to and bringing that beautiful produce to, for example, the Gilbert Farmers Markets. But don't you serve more than one market, or is it mainly the Gilbert and then you have the CSA part of it?
No, today we're actually doing 4 farmers markets. We do the one here in Gilbert, of course, and we do the downtown one and the Roadrunner Park in Scottsdale.
So now you always, your appearance, because you're pretty special, you're the featured farmer for the produce that the Frank Martin farm produces. So why do you always happen to be mostly at the Gilbert market?
I actually just love Gilbert. I don't know why I got to start this market myself. I mean, as far as our farm, don't remember 6 or 8 years ago, and I've just been here all the time. I just like it. I like the people that are here. It's an amazing crowd. And, you know, it's the people that, I guess, that accept this type of stuff. They're into, like, fun vegetables, different things, organics, you know, naturally grown, that type of thing. So, I mean, they're people that really eat vegetables, so I like that quite a bit.
And, you know, the featured commodity today on the show for the Farm Fresh Hour is the root vegetables. And root vegetables are not always as popular with kids, but one of the things we've been trying to do on Fill Your Plate is helping through our blog. We publish articles 3 times a week, is highlight for parents that sometimes when you take root vegetables, most kids like carrots, granted, yeah, but the vast array of our root vegetables, so if you blend them with some of their favorite vegetables, parents can introduce the little ones to new flavors. Do you ever have any questions from your parents when you're at the farmers markets about how they can introduce their child to some of these different vegetables?
Yes. You know, and I'm going to give you an example of one, and it's one of the most undesired vegetables, almost. You know, it's like turnips. Most people don't know what to do with turnips or anything like that. But here's what I can promise you. If you've ate at any restaurant above a Denny's restaurant, you have had turnips. And usually what it is a lot of chefs will actually take turnips and cook them just like potatoes, and they'll just sort of mix them in with the potatoes, and that's what gives you, you know, like that mashed potatoes, that little bit of zip that you can't quite place. So, you know, one of the things you can do with like turnips, you can cook them just like a potato. You can cook them and, you know, boil them, mash them up, mix them with potatoes, and that does really well like that. And also another thing, one of our farmers market people introduced me to this, is just like taking a turnip and then you can cook it just like you would fried potatoes, but what she did was she made like French fries out of the turnips. And I promise you that if somebody didn't tell you, you wouldn't really know that that was a turnip. You would think it was a potato. So, you know, and then you got way less carbs than a potato with a turnip. So that's pretty amazing right there. So it works really well. And you put a little spice and stuff on it.
And
too.
Not to give the potato a bad name, looking at Julie's nutritional facts here on veggies, a potato has more potassium than bananas, spinach, yep, or broccoli.
And, and then just to add to Farmer Frank's points about the turnips, they have a bit of a sweeter flavor. That's why chefs like to blend them with potatoes, and that they have plenty of the vitamin C. So not to advocate that we fool our children, but no, sometimes it doesn't hurt to, if you want to boost the vitamin C levels or anything else that a parent is wanting, that blend of nutrients with these fresh vegetables is really good. So you have some interesting conversations with your customers all the time because you are present at your farmers markets. Can you recall some of the interesting conversations you've had with your customers when it comes to your vegetables?
I've had so many conversations here before. You know, we just have just amazing amount of people here. And I, you know, when we get super busy, I don't have a lot of time to talk to each of them. But, you know, when we have little breaks, I do get to. I'm trying to think of one of the things where, I think at one time we were sampling, have you heard of the Hockeray turnip? It's like about the size of a golf ball. And it's way different than other turnips because it's known as like a Japanese salad turnip. So you can eat them raw. And they chop them up, put them in salad. It's got this sort of this fruity, crunchy taste. It's really hard to describe. So one time I showed that this little boy came up. He was about 12 years old. And I said, hey, you want to try this here? And he goes, no, I won't try anything that I haven't had before. And it was just hilarious to me.
Since we're still on turnips, another thing that I, in my research, a cup of mashed turnips has 51 calories and 76 milligrams of calcium, as much calcium as half of a slice of cheddar cheese. So again, a good blend of dairy, a good blend of vegetables. We maybe need to be taking our turnips a little bit more seriously than we do. One of the things that I had fun in researching our root vegetables, and just recalling the days on the farm that I grew up on the farm when Mom and I would tend our garden that we had is, again, the variety, the array of things that you could grow. And it one of my favorite things as a child was pulling carrots out of the soil. And you'd see this bright orange color just burst out of the dark soil. And it was an experience. And I think that's what can get us to appreciate, especially with our own little backyard gardens, the special experiences that you can implant in a child's mind and they can remember into their adulthood. And that's probably what influenced you, Frank, because your dad farmed, correct? Didn't he farm also?
He worked on a farm.
He worked on a farm.
No.
Okay.
I'm the first farmer in my family.
You're the first farmer. And you have two locations where you're growing your vegetables, correct? The one that you just mentioned.
We right there in a close proximity to there, and we also grow in Duncan, Arizona, Verdon, New Mexico, too.
So, trying to manage those two locations now, how are you doing both?
I'm not doing both very well. I'm saying it's a long ways over there, but it's a lot of trips back and forth.
And is there times when I know that you're growing quite a few watermelon. So the summer season, maybe you're doing more of your planting in the Duncan area?
Yeah, we are. You know, we'll actually, you know, the whole idea was to be able to have a lot of stuff year round because we have the CSAs, and our CSAs only slow down for 2 weeks out of the year. And that's when we take a vacation between Christmas Eve and, you know, New Year's Day. So one of the things we had to do, and you know how it is here in the summer, there's always some things that'll grow through the summer. It's just like okra and, you know, basil, eggplant, black-eyed peas, a few things like that. But it's not a very good selection when you get into the hot parts of the month. A lot of the farmers here, you know, the local ones will actually just stop. But we're usually about the end of July. It gets kind of rough here, so that's about the time that we actually start harvesting over in Duncan, Arizona.
Frank, what's the difference between a turnip and a rutabaga?
You know, I don't know a whole lot of difference. They almost taste the same to me.
If cooked right, I guess so, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And that is one of the, on the list of the research I did, the entire list. And again, that article will appear on Fill Your Plate sometime this week, fillyourplate.org. That's one of Arizona Farm Bureau's sponsored websites. But I was amazed at the broad and wide list of just root vegetables, so that was kind of cool. And, you know, when I went out to your farm, Frank, I saw a lot of onions. And so we've got to highlight, even though it's kind of more of a bulb than a root, but we are listing it in the root vegetables, probably to all the wonderful flavors they contribute to. In a recipe, Americans consume about 20 pounds of onions per capita per year. So my question to you, Frank, I think I remember you saying that you grew more than one variety of onions, and certainly the traditional ones, but what are you growing, or what do you grow in?
And we'll let Frank answer that right after this.